What up, bros? Welcome to another BroGraph Brocast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt.
And BroGraph is a supplement to our site, BroGraph.com, which is a motion graphics tutorial site with plugins, podcasts, and other MoGraph stuff. And on the show, we talk about everything ranging from motion graphics to Cinema 4D, After Effects plugins, render engines, doing business, doing taxes, being a contractor, or working for the man. And you can email us, BroGraph@BroGraph.com, with your topic ideas and your questions and everything related to MoGraph. It doesn't matter if it's complex or noob. We like to entertain everything and talk about everything. And I'd just like to put out an extra little thing this week at the beginning of the show to follow us on Twitter and talk to us on Twitter as well.
Or
really enjoy that.
You can come hang out with us on our Slack.
That's right.
Yeah, brograph.com/Slack.
You know why they call it that?
Having a lot of good conversations in there.
Yep. We have been slacking off by using Slack.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You know what time it is?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah,
you
dude.
You mean
getting that Christmas spirit already?
Yeah, Thanksgiving spirit. That's right.
You know, the day after Halloween, you start getting ready for Christmas.
Wrong.
Okay.
The day after Thanksgiving.
I've already watched Home Alone 3 times.
No.
And watched Elf once.
Wrong. You cannot do anything Christmassy until the day after Thanksgiving.
That's not true because, you know, so Halloween, you got Halloween, right? You got all the Halloween songs like the Monster Mash and stuff.
Okay.
You know, you could decorate for Halloween.
Okay.
There's no Thanksgiving songs.
So?
I mean, there's the turkey song by Adam Sandler, but that's about it. That's not very good, you know?
Wrap up the turkey in aluminum foil.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's a terrible song.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no Christmas songs until after Thanksgiving for me. Thank you very much.
Are you burning your blueberry, what is it?
Blackberry
cornbread
jam?
Or
blackberry what? Jam candles?
Blackberry jam.
Yeah, that's not related to Christmas at all, though.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Just a fall?
No, it's just fall. They were the fall lineup of Glade, or Glade, as I call it, maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
and it was this right most amazing blackberry jam scented candle.
It smelled like blackberry cobbler.
So good. And all these people online too are trying to find it, you know, and they're like, why didn't you bring it back? You brought all the other stuff back and the pumpkin and the fall and all this stuff, but they didn't bring it back. So I bought it in bulk for years and I have just stashes of it everywhere. I've spent a lot of money on some of the spray bottles, you know, the little $2 spray cans I bought for like $12 a piece.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, but because I don't ever want to run out of it. It's like the best smell ever. And I don't know why. I even emailed them and I said, hey, why'd you get rid of it? All these people online are asking you and you're not doing anything about it. They're like, well, we have this raspberry berry thing. I'm like, it doesn't smell the same.
Yeah.
You got rid of the best thing you ever had, you jerks.
You jerks.
Whatever.
I decided what I'm going to do for my my Christmas lights this year.
What's that?
So when my parents were in town, my mom completely like redid the whole like front yard area and like put a whole bunch of like, you know, landscape lighting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went and bought a bunch of the party gels for like lighting and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to cut a bunch of those out and just put them on top. So basically it shoots red and green and blue and whatever all over the house.
They have those little projector things.
Yeah,
that project
but they're
colors.
So stupid.
No, I got some good ones
okay.
last year. They looked really cool. But,
yeah.
So MoGraph stuff.
Yeah.
We're back.
People don't come here for the MoGraph.
They come for the fun.
BSing.
Yeah. They come from the rat holes. But
they go for the raffle. That's funny.
But we're back. We were traveling for so long, you know, so we kind of got back to work last week and we're working on some fun stuff. We can't really talk much about it, but we're working on a cool thing for a museum, which will be kind of fun, like a projection piece. So that'll be kind of cool. It's at a prominent museum in the area, so we'll be able to say we did that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun working on. We did forget with Haley last week to do the BroGraph recommends.
We're the worst.
Yeah. And, you know, I need to have a template for my show notes.
Yeah.
Because we've added stuff. And so now I'm starting to forget, like, some of the segments and things that we do. So I did, however, get the email back from her with those recommends. And we do put all the recommends at brograph.com/recommends. So you can see what everybody has listed. Haley actually said Blade Runner is her favorite movie. The new one, 2049.
Oh, really?
Whatever. Yeah. Have you seen that, by the way?
I haven't seen it, no.
Go see it. Go see it. Very impressive. Favorite music, Broadcast, The Black Angels, Brian Jonestown Massacre, and Lamb, etc.
Yeah, I would think as a musician, you know, it'd be hard to nail it down just to one.
Yeah. TV show True Blood, podcast Smart Passive Income by Pat Flynn. I like that. That sounds interesting.
I'll have to check that one out.
Plug-in Rubber Hose by Battle Axe for AE.
Yeah.
Headphones, Urban Ears, website or Chrome extension, 1Password, which if you haven't used 1Password or LastPass, it's really, really cool. I don't use LastPass as much as I did before because now it's all kind of built into Safari browser. Mm-hmm. And then favorite life hack is meditation or journaling.
Cool.
So sorry, we forgot to go into that. I'm going to have a template from now on because there's so much now.
Yeah. Someone hit us up on the Slack and was like, oh, you forgot to do this. This is my favorite part. And I was like, ah, we totally did.
Yeah. So sorry about that. I was talking to
no guest on the show today.
No guest. This it's is just like, us. We haven't done a show with just the two of us in a really long time.
Yeah, I know, right?
Gosh, my mouse is all... I don't know if my mouse is malfunctioning on the computer or getting a short in it.
I don't know.
The problem is that I purposely, every time I buy a new mouse, I buy an additional mouse to have on stock in case it dies.
That's funny.
Because I don't know how long they're going to have the old wired ball mice from Mac.
I told Amy for either my birthday or Christmas coming up, which my birthday is in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
So just everyone be prepared. December 3rd.
Yeah.
I'm a Sagittarius. The Logitech just came out with this new mouse power pad combo, you know? So they've got this power pad. It's basically a USB powered, you know, mouse pad. But the mouse is wireless, and it has like a wireless charger inside of it. So like you can use the mouse; it's wireless, but it's being charged at all times, so you never have to worry about charging it.
Nice,
which is pretty cool.
I'm looking on here.
That's what I told her I wanted.
I am fairly certain it's been 15 weeks since we have done a show by ourselves.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like, that's since actually pretty good.
Before SIGGRAPH.
Wow.
Crazy. Man, I did not realize that. That is nutso.
Yeah. Our numbers have increased significantly over the past month.
We gained 3,000 subscribers last month.
Yeah. Yeah. So big thanks to all you guys who have been guys and gals who have been subscribing. We really appreciate the support.
Uh-huh.
As Dave drinks his coffee.
We got a lot of stuff, a lot of cool stuff planned. I was talking to David, and David needs to come back on here pretty soon, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I was chatting with him. I was like, dude, we need to have you back on.
Yeah.
He's like, I know we're about to hit that 1/5 ratio.
What's the 1/5 ratio?
Oh, if you listen to all of our shows,
he's in a
there's
fifth.
A 20% chance that he's been on it.
Yeah, I don't want to mess that up. And we've got a lot of people we've been talking to about being on. We need to start rescheduling that because we had a good schedule going for a while. Now that things have settled back down here, we need to do that. And but I was talking to David though, and he was mentioning Dem Earth. He's like, he just had a horrible support problem with Dem Earth. And you remember I talked about that? God knows how long ago that was.
Yeah, I think we've all talked about how much Dem Earth the
support is
system
awful.
Sucks.
You know, and God forbid you want to move Dem Earth to like the newest version of Cinema 4D. It takes an act of God, you know. And David was having the same problems I was, where like he couldn't remember what his username is supposed to be and all this. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just get a username. You know, he manually puts in a username based on your email address, and it's not your whole email address. It's based on a domain. And, like, I mean, I remember talking to him, and he was, like, the biggest jerk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, dude, I don't know what's going on. And, then, you know, what happens is that your maps just don't work, you know? And it doesn't say why, either. It doesn't say, like, something's not working right, and... You know, he doesn't understand, like, there's a language barrier with the word support, because he's like, well, I can't help you with this because you don't have support past a year. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I have to pay.
Like, you can't even help with email addresses or anything
right.
like that?
And, but his That's definition stupid. Of support means it means the plugin working.
Right.
That the plugin is supported at all. Not that you get, like, technical support. You know, and so,
and, like, I don't know.
You seems use to Dem me Earth like once a year. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Anyway, it's just, you know, that really grinds my gears.
Oh god!
Because it's just like, I don't know. Other plugins just seem to be a little more streamlined, and I don't know. It just seems a little douchey to me that, like.
No, I'll agree
so
with you there.
It's so difficult. Like, and it would be one
and
thing.
And how much is it? How much is it for
really
a year?
Really expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and I've paid for it multiple times, and I've barely gotten my money's worth. And it wouldn't be that bad if, like, he wasn't kind of a b-hole about it.
Yeah.
You know, when
try
and contact support. You know, it just irks me that, you know, when somebody who buys a $69 plugin from us, I try and sit there and troubleshoot for an entire day, you know, an issue somebody might have, and you can't even get the time of day from somebody when you buy like a $400 plugin, you know. So anyway, get off my soapbox, I guess. But the Slack is taking off. We have, how many people do we have in there now? Like 120 people, something like that.
Yeah, 117.
117 people in there, and it's really great. Everybody, make sure you subscribe to all the channels. Make sure you're posting in the right channel too. You know, like
Dave says that, but I honestly don't care.
I mean,
I think there needs to be one channel. I don't think there needs to be a separate Octane or a separate Redshift or a, you know, Octane Jesus prayers.
Well, some of that is just to be kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, I understand, like, resources is a great place you can put, like, links to really good, you know, texture sites and things like that. Because you could just kind of scroll through and get it. You can go.
Yeah, resources is kind of nice.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's cool stuff like that. You know, like the Rick and Morty channel, stuff like that. But you know, if you're posting, you know, progressive updates to something you're working on, the share thing is probably a good place to put that. You can share what you're working on.
See, I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool just to throw it in the general. That's me personally, you know.
But I like show topic ideas. That's working really well. People are posting in there. We added tutorial requests as well. We don't know how many of them we can get to, but, you know, we'll definitely consider all of them. We have lots of new content coming out on BroGraph, by the way. Sean Astrom did a Corona tutorial this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched like half of it.
He actually had a second one, which I had done and was about to upload, but he was like, I can do better. I'm going to redo it. So he's redoing that. He plans on doing two of them a week.
Cool.
On Corona. And I was really impressed. You know, funny thing is, like, we're putting out so much content from different people now, I can't even watch all of them.
Yeah.
And so it's to the point where I just, you know, I catch bits and pieces of it when I'm editing, you know, because they send us the content and we put all of our BroGraph stuff in it. And, like, I was really impressed with Corona as a CPU renderer, how fast it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's looking like a GPU.
Sean's machine is also pretty killer, from what I understand.
Oh, see, we need to get some specs.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
It's got a nice setup.
We also need to do, on the recommends page, it needs to have everyone's computer what they're using.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
Also, you know, Liam did another Redshift. He may not do another Redshift tutorial this week due to some other things going on. He might do a live stream. And here's the thing. So we've got Raid Zero is doing a new Octane tutorial for us coming soon. I'm doing an Octane tutorial. I was trying to do it this weekend, but our project got in the way.
Did the t-shirts? Did you get the
I didn't get the new t-shirt yet.
Okay.
So
I wore the bad one.
Oh, you did?
The other day. Yeah.
So we've you know, generally had a good experience with Amazon merch, but these colors that I put on this deal did not match at all.
You guys are going to like the new shirt.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can say what it is. I've been posting it in the Slack and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like Stranger Things, but it says Render Things.
Yeah.
And so I have a whole Octane tutorial, which I've already built and done a preview for. Mm-hmm. I've just got to post it on how to do a very similar style to Stranger Things. It's obviously not optical, like real optical analog. But it's how to get the same effect or a similar effect. And so I'm going to be doing that, and I'm going to do a live deal on that too this week. And so we are working out the details. We'll probably know tomorrow, Monday, but probably hopefully by the time you hear this show, whether we're going to have two live streams or one live stream this week.
Okay.
If Liam can't do it, then I'm just going to take over the Thursday night slot. Night time slot. Yeah. So
you're fired.
We got a lot of live stuff coming up. We're going to be doing more of that. You know, we've been talking about how we're going to ramp that up. And so we've got that. Chad Ashley joined in our live stream in the chat this week. Last week.
Was he basically Redshift. Like, you're doing it all wrong?
I'm sure it was probably a little nerve-wracking for Liam to be doing.
Just a little head shaking the whole time at home.
Yeah, he was, I forget where he was. He was watching on his phone somewhere, like an ice cream shop or something. I don't know. But popped in, and he actually had good things to say and was helpful because people were asking some really good questions. And he was actually answering some of them. So that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, that's not intimidating at all.
Yeah, seriously.
So
I've got a couple of tutorial ideas.
Yeah.
Someone in the Slack, who was it? HP2009.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was.
That was a good year for Hewlett Packard. Yeah.
So he was asking a whole bunch of questions. I think he's doing like ArcViz stuff. Mm-hmm. And, he was like, does anyone know any good tutorials on doing furniture? And it's like, I spent a lot of time building furniture at my last job. And I was like, you know what? I could do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, just easily sending him a few tips on how to do it. I don't know. So I've got one where I may talk about like actually modeling furniture from the ground up. Also my Cinema 4D light, I'm going to do a tutorial jumping off, you know, basically just starting off from After Effects to Cinema 4D light, which a lot of you will be like, eh, whatever.
But the one that you did that for, yeah.
Yeah.
And I need to do that too.
I've done four or five times now.
Yeah. I'm going to do the same thing. Cause I was thinking about that. I'm like, I've done this a lot and I don't have it, I don't have it recorded anywhere. So I should do it before I forget my presentation.
Yeah.
So.
And today I was playing around with Octane. So this came up the other day. Penny actually was in the Slack asking about like how to make like a clay texture. What would be the best way to do that? Mm-hmm. And so I've had it in my brain, and I just tonight I was playing around with it, and I modeled this little Santa Claus, like, you know, clay Santa Claus guy.
Like Rankin
and, like,
Bass.
It's actually what?
Rankin Bass.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Bass Pro Shop, whatever.
No, no, Rankin Bass. You know, Rudolph and...
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is it? Island of Misfit Toys or whatever?
Yeah. Well, that's in the...
Mr. White Christmas, I'm Mr. Snow.
No, I guess that's not what I'm thinking of.
No, that's the same people. I don't know. I worked at Spencer Guest for a long time, and I heard that song a lot of times.
Well, it's the...
during the Christmas season.
There's the Misfit Toys in Rudolph, but they don't sing that song.
Right. Well, no, Mr. White Christmas sings that song. You know, and then there's never mind.
In Rudolph? Anyway. I'm so confused.
I don't know if it's in Rudolph necessarily. It might be in another one, but it's the same people who did that, I think.
Yeah, the whole old school clay animation mixed with Frank and Bass.
So anyway, tonight I made this little clay Santa Claus guy, you know, and I'm gonna show off, you know, how to do like a claymation stop motion esque type look.
Cool.
You know?
Lots of vibrate tags on things.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
you know, and then
posterize time when you're done.
I was gonna say posterize time. Yeah.
Dude, it's so much easier to just posterize time in After Effects than actually try and do it in Cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you gotta render the extra frames, but who cares?
Yeah. And then what was the other thing? And so with this Santa Claus character, you know, I've been working on this little like a rubber hose tube rig for Cinema 4D Lite.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kind of tease that because there's no like character stuff in Cinema 4D Lite. So I've been kind of building one.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And so I may end up using that and kind of show like how it works, but also kind of showing off also the sound effector, because Santa Claus, he's got this little, you know, he's got the mustache and stuff, and I'm going to make his mustache move with the sound. So
that'll be cool.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, cool. So that's on my agenda one day.
Cool. Well, Mitch Myers, hashtag cool fire was on
hashtag cool fire.
He was on Learn Squared this week. Not with Ash Thorpe. It was with somebody else though. I'm sorry. His name
wasn't it the other guy who he worked on the
Adobe
After Effects thing with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting to see the process there. I think Phil Raid Zero, somehow brought up the cool fire thing in that stream, I believe. And so it was interesting, though, for him to see that not Mitch. I got to get the other guy's name because I don't remember off the top of my head. CV Art Smart, because Mitch was showing him CV Art Smart. He's like, what is this? What is this magicness and
what's this?
Sorcery? It's like, dude, it's Rick Barrett's
Max on Rick.
Yeah, Max on Rick. We got to make him a shirt.
Yeah.
Let's just call up Justin.
If anyone finds a Rick Diet Coke, like share a Diet Coke with Rick, send it to me. Buy it and send it to me, because I've got the Sanchez one. So.
Oh, nice.
And I've just been saving it because I need to find the Rick one.
Right. It's funny that it was easier for you to find the Sanchez than the Rick.
Definitely down in Texas it is.
Just don't get it dirty. So he was talking to him about it, and he was so surprised that CV Art Smart exists. And it's like, if you don't know what CV Art Smart is, like, it makes it so easy to bring stuff in from Illustrator without having to convert it to Illustrator 8 first. So I'll put a link in the show notes. If you haven't seen this is a great thing to have, and it makes doing extrudes with multiple splines so easy. So easy. But it did bring up in my head the idea that, you know, there are different types of podcasts in this industry, and I feel like there's two different types of teachers. And teachers and podcasts, which are the artistic venue and the technical, you know, I mean, I feel like we are very, very technical, you know, when David is technical, but he's also artistic. And so when he comes in to the show, he brings a lot of the artistic with him at the same time. Then there's shows like, you know, stuff Ash Thorpe does, which is like ridiculously artistic, you know, but that was just a train of thought that I was on, you know. I would like to concentrate more on some of the art myself. I'd like to start watching, you know, or maybe subscribe to some stuff on Learn Squared and get into some of that next year, because next year is my year for artistic. So we've also been kind of floating the idea around of doing a contest thing.
Yeah, you know? That came up in the Slack tonight. We were all just like showing off all of our old work and like our first demo reel or our first animation and stuff.
Yeah.
And someone was saying like, oh yeah, back in the day, I remember when Grayscale Gorilla did their 5-second projects
loved
and stuff
those.
Like that.
I absolutely love those.
Yeah, and they haven't done one in a while. Yeah. And so I was like, I wonder if we could do like a 5 or 6 second project. And then, like, you know, my mind likes to kind of switch it up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, how cool would it be if you could get like an actual paid client, like a big company or something who wants to do a commercial? And then basically you've got this creative brief, you send it out to everyone and you say, okay, they're paying for this. So winners will actually, one, not only get into the commercial, but two, also get paid for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be a pretty fun competition.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I mean,
I don't know. That was my thought.
We have enough, people now, especially in Slack. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like to where we could announce something like that and actually get some good entries. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we start with something small and just see how it goes and gradually build it up. I mean, I don't want to straight up do like 5 second project. I want to do something
mm-hmm.
different, but I don't know what that would be. I mean, it could be like 6 second project.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, you know, I don't know. It there needs to be something.
Yeah.
There needs to be something.
We can start, you know, small because, and just see if it takes off.
Just
see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe something holiday themed, possibly.
Well, what's the, what happened to the Craptacular logo competition?
Right. Oh, man, that completely disappeared under the pile of other things that we were going to do and some of them we actually ended up doing, and you know,
yeah.
I think we were talking about doing that like before NAB and everything happened. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we'll revisit something like that. I don't know. We'll kick it around and see. I'll check it out, dude. iCloud drives me nuts. I don't know what's going on, dude. My bookmarks just disappear sometimes, and it drives me insane.
Dude, you need to update your system.
It has nothing to do with that. It happens on all my devices at once. Like, all of a sudden...
It's probably because one of your devices is, like, not up to date, so
what
you're
does it
working
matter?
With all sorts of different, like, truncated versions and
all
stuff.
All it is are my favorites, like, in my bookmarks bar. It should not disappear.
Dude, yeah, I know. It's Apple. Apple sucks.
But it's been happening for years. All of a sudden, oh, they're all gone. All right, I guess I got to remake all my... And they disappear off of everything, so I don't know which one is causing the issue.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like, or old ones will appear.
Why do you even use bookmarks?
I don't have a lot of bookmarks, but I have favorites at the top, you know, to go straight mm-hmm. to my email and my unread emails and things like that are
type it in.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever, but you know, it's not the end of the world that I lost it, but it's kind of like sometimes I'll have shortcuts to bookmarks that appear from like 8 years ago. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Why is Urban Coffee podcast link stuff up there all of a sudden? I haven't had that up there in 8 years. Like, what computer is doing that? But
I don't know.
Stupid iCloud.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway, let's get to some of the topics at hand. I haven't really dug into this. I would like to start learning Houdini again.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like there needs to be a project that we want to use it for, you know? Also, Houdini Mark.
I was going to say Houdini Mark had a great link to a beginner's thing for that. And if you could find that and send that to me in the dinkus here, I'm going to put that in the show notes. Because
yeah, it was probably a while back.
That was like yesterday.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of conversation.
Well, yeah,
today.
I know.
You search by person?
I don't know. He wasn't on yesterday. You know what, though? You could go to Paperbot. Paperbot probably have it. It was yesterday. Here's what I like about Paperbot, if you are in the Slack, is that you can sign up for it, and you get daily emails of everything that people put in the dingus. And you can also, I think you can log in. You could see like what more of the top ones were, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just every link that people kind of submit, but it will like, it'll say, oh, this one was the hot one for today. You know, this got the most clicks, that kind of thing. And it's kind of a cool resources thing to have.
Got it. I got the link.
Okay. Yeah. Put it in the dingus and I'll, but yeah, it Paperbot, check that out.
Rohan Dalvi.
Did you paste it?
Dalvi.
I don't have it.
I'm doing it right now.
Cool.
Introduction to Houdini.
Yeah. He said basically that like, this was a really good one. Very easy to understand.
51 minutes too.
Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, maybe after the show tonight, we started on time tonight.
Yeah, we did.
So, and I was like actually prepared today. So like, I'm thinking like, maybe I'll just do this tonight after I'm done. Just check this out with the free version of Houdini or whatever. What is it called?
Yeah. Houdini Apprentice.
Apprentice.
Yeah.
Other things this week, we had the new from the Great Summit, the Boolean plugin that came out.
I want to talk about this.
Okay.
Because this was a big thing this week, and I think a lot of people were very, very excited about it.
Yeah, I was.
But they didn't, like, I know, I was too. So I tried it out.
Okay.
And I was very disappointed. Because I think what everyone was expecting when they saw this is like a fully procedural, like doesn't give you messy geometry type stuff, you know,
like using Fusion.
That's what everyone was expecting,
like using Fusion, and,
right? Like yeah. Using Fusion 360, yeah. Right. That is not the way it is.
I mean, I even saw Brandon Clements was like, "Oh, this could be interesting for people who don't want to get into Fusion."
Right. And the thing is, like, it's using all of the same Boolean, like, built-in Cinema 4D stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I want to give it props because it does make it super easy to do this stuff and makes it very clean. But all it's doing is basically a clean version of like, the same technique that we talked about a few months ago that Merck showed off,
right.
Where you're booling two things, adding a bevel modifier, and then doing select intersections and whatever, you know?
You know,
and it's just clicking on the, you know, hide new faces and stuff like that. And if I'm correct, you're just creating a bunch of N-gons and stuff like that instead of creating, like, pretty quads, which in my opinion should be what you're striving for, correct?
Yeah, you know, I was in a conversation in Slack this week with some of these guys talking about modeling in Cinema, and I feel like, you know, all these things are coming out to help us do what should be able to be done in Cinema by default.
I agree.
You know, the chamfering and you know, just stuff modeling, you were just talking about, like, you know.
Modeling in Maya, when I initially was modeling in Maya, like, it always produced pretty clean geometry for me, especially when doing bools and stuff like that. And then moving over to C4D, it was always so messy, you know. And I think that's what people were expecting with this plugin. And unfortunately, it's not. It's just using the same, you know, kind of crappy bool operations that C40 has built
with
in.
With a Python,
you know?
Code. I feel like...
Yeah, with a Python code that's cleaning everything up, and it's making it look nice. The bad part is if you hit Command-Z or Control-Z, it, like, basically deletes everything.
Really?
Because, yeah, because it goes through, like... And I think this used to happen with... what was it? Magic Merge as well. When you take two things and you merge them together and you're like, oh crap. And you hit undo and it just deletes everything. Or like, basically it goes through steps and like does this and then deletes that and then does these two things and deletes that. But it does it so fast. It just looks like one thing, you know?
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just wish that Maxon, this is what we're talking about in Slack, would up their modeling game. I think it's time. I think it's really time. I think that they've hit up a lot of different other avenues, and they've had a lot of years, and I really feel like it is time to revolutionize modeling, you know?
Yeah.
You've got...
I don't know. Like, I enjoy modeling in cinema.
I do, you too,
know,
but...
The you know, subdiv modeling and stuff like right. that. I love doing it that way. It's when I have to bool something that it breaks apart.
That's why I'm saying, you know? Like, if Maxon were to come out with a procedural modeling deal like Fusion that just cuts Fusion out of the game, just cut. Yeah. I mean, everybody's like moving to Fusion to do their super detailed stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's like cut them out. Like, don't let people move to Fusion. Come up with a cool thing. Like, it's time. Like R20 should be a game changer, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you know, hopefully they have some of that stuff in the pipeline. I know that they're probably a couple versions ahead in their own head. You know what I mean? But like, the modeling game needs to be some revolutionary stuff coming out. You know,
I agree.
So, but we'll put that Boolean plugin link in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. I'm so excited for X Particles 4 to come out. It's still like December 4th before it comes out. Like,
hey, my birthday's December 3rd. I'm just throwing that out there.
And
you know, Insidium, if any of you guys, Mario, if you guys are listening, December 3rd is my birthday. So,
speaking of Mario, this video at IBC 2017. They have the Rewind video up. It's a sneak peek at X Particles 4. So check that out. Dude, I'm so excited. Like, I've been playing more and more with X Particles recently, and I joined the X Particles group on Facebook, and I've been looking at some of the just amazing things people are doing with it. And I just want to get into it more. It's so much fun to play with. But there's just so much more coming out with version 4 that I'm like, oh, I want to learn that now, you know? But I'm gonna have to wait.
I was playing with Turbulence FD.
Yeah.
This past week I did a 6-second project for the Midnight Club studio in the UK. It was really fun. It was basically it was kind of your dream job. They basically said, here's our budget, you know, which was it was decent for
a couple days of work
for what we were having to do. But so basically they said, you've got this budget. It's it is open to interpretation. You just have to stick within this theme and create 6 seconds, you know, start in black, end in black, and then do whatever you want. So it's kind of a dream job where you actually get to go in and be creative and have some fun and stuff like that. So I ended up spending, you know, a lot more time than what was budgeted, but I didn't really care because it was a project that I was kind of like, you know, that I was enjoying and kind of passionate about, you know. It's like, that's the type of stuff that you're going to put on your reel, you know, so you want it to look good. So with it, I was playing with Turbulence FD, you know, and I love Turbulence FD. It's an awesome program. It is a super awesome program. But I've found when working with it in like Octane and even Redshift, like it's just slower. It's actually a lot slower than it is just rendering standard Cinema 4D. Like, I was just doing some smoke passes and stuff like that. Like,
noisy.
Three or four different smoke passes. What?
Noisy.
Yeah, they were very noisy. Yeah. And it was taking longer to render per frame than it was in just standard C4D.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and so I posted that on my Facebook, and Perry joined in the conversation. They were asking if it was Turbulence FD, and I was like, yeah. And he said, I said, rendered that out of standard. And he said, that's the way I do it every time. You know, it just takes so long to render out of Octane, and you know, it's so noisy and stuff.
Interesting.
Might as well just do it because it produces such a pretty picture in standard render.
I wonder about Redshift.
Yeah. I mean, Redshift is the same. It still takes a while. And I still can't seem to get Redshift looking as good, even though I've played around with it a lot. I still can't get it to look just, it seems to me, and this could just be me, I couldn't get it to look as good as it did in Octane, and I definitely couldn't get either to look as good as it did in Standard Renderer, mm-hmm. just, you know, coming straight out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know if you saw anything that came out of Adobe Max or not a couple weeks
ago. I saw the basically...
Content-aware video
Content-aware for... Yeah, man. That was... And you know, I want to say, oh my gosh, like that's, well, it'll probably be a game changer. I don't think they're going to be, I don't think it's going to be as good as, you know, what they showed off.
Like, you remember when they showed off regular content aware, when they showed off, especially, it wasn't content aware, but when they showed off, what was it? It wasn't a denoiser or, it was the anti-blur thing that they showed off, where like if you had something that had a slow shutter, you know, you could basically unblur.
Oh, okay.
And you know, they made it look like it was just going to be just revolutionary, and it never really turned out to be something that great. So, you know, I'll be interested to see how well this actually works, because, you know, of course they do it in the ideal situation. You know.
Yeah, of course.
And then they had what's his name from Silicon. From
Silicon Valley,
sitting in the sitting on the stage talking about it too, you know, not knowing what he was talking about, just being like, "Oh, that's pretty cool," you know. It's like, okay,
yeah, it looked pretty awesome. Whether or not it actually turns out to, you know, work well, I think it'll be like content aware is in Photoshop. You know, content aware works really good for like small things, or you know, but once you start getting into like massive stuff, it's like it totally falls apart.
I don't know, once you incorporate some of that AI stuff, it might start getting better,
maybe. I don't know,
and you know, it might be a good start. That's the other thing, sometimes you want to kind of just erase something to start. Sometimes you do like a rough mask of something, and then you kind of improve on it from there. It might be a good starting point for some of us VFX types, you know. We'll see. So let's move on to Ravcock. What's your flavor? Just two.
That was a little bit different this time.
Two things. nothing too big to talk about right now. I don't think. Oh, you know, one thing I didn't put in here is that standalone 3.08. Some sort of alpha came out.
Dude, that's kind of big news.
Yeah, it is, but I'm just kind of waiting for it to roll out full version, and I'm sure we'll have Jules back on the show.
Yeah. So in case you haven't heard, the Octane 3.08 with OSL support is in there. Does it also have the Toon Shader in there?
I believe it does.
Okay. Yeah. So I haven't downloaded it. I actually went to go download it, but I couldn't seem to find the link. And then I got distracted by something.
I mean, it's just standalone anyway, so it's like, you know. But yeah, this OSL stuff, I'm so excited about that. Can't wait to see what that turns into. One thing that has come up actually a lot on Slack, and has come up a lot in the stuff Liam's doing, it came up like last week on the live stream, is the Pentax forums have like these bokeh libraries, where you can download these different bokehs.
That's cool.
And so it's something that you can integrate easily into Redshift. He showed that off on the live stream, but there'll be a link to that. You can check that out. It's basically, it's called Lens Bokeh Research Help. and I don't really know how this forum started out, but I'll load it up here real quick and I can see just sample PSFs. Which are point spread function for each point of light in the scene. So it's like super, super cool detailed bokehs for different stops, essentially. And you know, different focuses and stuff. And so you can take these and utilize all of these really cool images into whatever you're working on. Really good possibilities here. So, there's a link to that. And then also, I didn't realize this, but I guess something is going on with Windows. There's a couple different things. I guess After Effects is not supporting the 10 series graphics cards for CUDA right now for their 3D ray trace stuff.
Oh, really?
So if you're using a 10 series, the new version of After Effects is not, will not do ray tracing for some reason. You can have like a 980, but you can't do it with the 10 series. So there's a link to that. I doubt it's going to be like that forever.
Huh.
And there's also some Windows things going on with like NVIDIA and stuff. I don't know what's going on. Like Windows 10, NVIDIA and drivers. And I don't know why everybody can't get on the same page with some of this stuff, but yeah, you would seriously think that Adobe would of course be doing 10 series support for ray tracing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that's maybe that is an NVIDIA problem.
Yeah. I don't know.
They can't, you know? A link to that. So if that's your current situation, you might want to check that out. So let's get on to some topics for today. We got two topics I wanted to talk about.
Cool.
The first one is something interesting that I came across in the last couple weeks, and it's called comparing onstage to backstage.
Okay.
There's a show, it's called the Unintended Consequences Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of it?
I have not, no.
I heard a clip from it on another show. And so I went and I listened to the whole thing. And this is like, it's a podcast. It's a basically a weekly conversation between Patrick Rothfuss,
mm-hmm.
From Name of the Wind. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
And Max Temkin from Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
And so I'll put a link to the show notes in Overcast, and it's this whole thing about, you know, what you present to the public as opposed to, you know, what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well,
and
okay, go ahead.
Well, in many different venues. So you go online, you see what people are doing, you see the end results,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is mainly a business thing I'm talking about, but I will do like a, you know, go into the personal stuff too and say, okay, let's use Facebook as a comparison.
I was
going to
say,
right?
So like it's basically, you know, Facebook, you see everyone's highlight reel versus like, you know,
right.
all the crap that they're having to go through day to day.
Right. Facebook versus actual IRL.
Yeah.
Me IRL.
Yeah.
You know, besides the political arguments you get on Facebook, what do you see? Like pictures of family, yeah. husbands, wives, kids, all that stuff.
Yep.
And you don't really think what's behind the picture. You're just going through your feed and you're like, all these happy people, why are they so happy? And I'm not so, you know, I'm not happy, you know? And it's like, you don't think behind the picture. You don't think what's behind the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a couple and you think, oh, and they write, you know, we're so happy. And they, you know, they just had a all out brawl argument 5 minutes before, someone posts a picture of their kid doing this amazing thing, 'cause they're the best kid in the universe, but really they're doing awful in school,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody puts that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so in just the same way that the negative is purposely kind of filtered out on Facebook, it applies to business too. And that's where this whole onstage versus backstage thing kind of comes from, you know. So you get on Twitter,
you know, I think this is actually a really good topic for something that I wanted to discuss, because mm-hmm. something that we were talking about in the Slack the other day was, you know, kind of how to get clients and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. This relates very similarly, because
it's probably the second topic that I have
maybe.
On the show notes here.
Maybe. Anyway,
from
I don't know.
Come back to that in a second, because
okay.
I got notes here. Right. So what we just talked about, take that into consideration with Twitter, right? You get on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
you see Grayscale Gorilla, and you see like Ash Thorpe putting all this good stuff out, and Beeple, you know, every day putting out these dailies, mm-hmm. and And then you meet them in real life, and like you look up to them, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, these people are so great. And then you meet them and you're like, oh, they're really down to earth. They're like normal people.
Yeah.
You know, how do they get so much content out? You know? Yeah. You don't see the stuff that's behind the scenes. You don't see the trials and tribulations and, but you're thinking like people are always getting things done. How are they doing that?
Mm-hmm.
How do they get so much content out? How do they ship? You know, and it's kind of an illusion that these people are shipping because you see the onstage side of it, mm-hmm. right? But you kind of have this illusion, not just from one person, but from all these people combined, you know, where you feel like all these people are shipping, all uh-huh. these people are presenting on stage. And so you kind of feel frustrated.
Yeah.
Because the backstage
like, why
is never
are you
seen.
People doing so well and I'm stuck
right.
doing the crappy client, you know?
yeah. Because you don't see that.
Right.
You don't see they did 10 client projects too
right.
and then put out one thing.
Right.
So you start comparing yourself to something that is unobtainable and can be incredibly frustrating because you end up feeling like a failure, you know, because you don't write a book or ship a plugin every single day.
Yeah.
You know, you set too high of expectations for yourself and, you know, even with dailies,
yep.
that can be a struggle,
yep.
you know? We've talked about spreading yourself too thin, you know, taking on too many projects and stuff like that. We've talked about that a lot on the show. And this is a perfect example because you try to believe that everyone else does it. So why can't you?
Right.
You know, but they're not. It's just that you're seeing everybody's on stage as a whole. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of that illusion of on stage, like, oh, you know, there's so many success stories. Why can't I do it? And honestly, like if I can be as so risky as to be a little vulnerable here,
oh
you know,
boy,
like this
we're not going
is probably,
into the failure crap, are we again?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good. Because that was the like, worst episode I've ever heard.
No, which everybody said it was the best.
No,
but like no, seriously, if I can just be open here, this is probably the worst year of my life. you know, but would anybody listening know that? You
yeah.
know? Like nobody would know that, like, I have an awful marriage situation, minor financial things going on, massive health problems that nobody can accurately diagnose, including like, a liver scare, which they can't figure out, and now crippling joint pain that's taking over all of my joints on a day-to-day basis and moves around, and I'm probably borderline depressed. I don't even know. Like, every day is a struggle. Mm-hmm. But, like, all that to say, like, we've had some, like, massive success
yeah.
in business and BroGraph. And, you know, this year there's been plenty of that on stage presentation,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, we are smaller in comparison to, like, say, Grayscale Gorilla or something like that. Mm-hmm. But there's so much in the day-to-day that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you just see the onstage part of
yep.
it. You don't see backstage. So, you know, don't let social media and the illusion of how much content you should be producing
yes.
get you down because everybody's human. Everybody's dealing with things. No one is more important than anyone else. You're just special just the way you are.
Oh, jeez.
That's what Mr. Rogers
well,
would say, right?
Like, in contrast to that,
I was just going to say, just don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Pick one thing you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
Give it a year.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as the interwebs make it look. Okay, sorry.
And
rant.
Well, here's the thing. And like you say it's not as easy as the interwebs make you think, but I'll also say it can be as easy as the interwebs makes it look, because really it's all about getting yourself out there, like
mm-hmm.
creating that onstage presence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking on the Slack about how to get clients and how to get bigger clients and stuff like that, and really, like, what it is you have to put your stuff out there. You have
yeah.
to have people know what you do, and we're guilty of not putting enough physical stuff out there, like work that we've done, because, you know, we don't really love a ton of it, and the stuff that we're gonna put
yeah.
out is actually going to be the fun stuff that we do ourselves, you know, or
right.
really fun projects that we have to do. So, like, I guess my biggest advice for people, especially because we have a few people in the Slack who are just starting out in MoGraph.
Yeah.
Who are just starting out. Like, I was thoroughly surprised to find out that we have a 15-year-old in the Slack. And I think that's amazing. Nice. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Once all of us found out, we were like, oh my gosh, we're so jealous of where you are right now. We wish we could be where you are doing this, you know?
You have so much time ahead of you to get
so much. Like, by the time you're 20, you're gonna be freaking killing it. But you have to keep in mind, you know, he was asking a lot of questions yesterday, you know, and I didn't realize he was 15. You know, I thought he was our age asking these questions, and I'm like, well, come on, man, you should kind of know this stuff by now, you know. But that's the thing, like, you know, this is where you're learning. And so, like, my advice to him was, get out there, put your stuff out, you know? Like, BroGraph didn't grow to, you know, where it is today just by being complacent and, you know, putting out crappy shows, which we've put out a few turds in our day, you know?
Right.
But we've also polished quite a few turds, you know?
And we just keep going.
Yeah, we just keep going.
We just, like, keep doing it. We're
consistent. You know, we are consistent. We're not putting out dailies. We are putting out weekly podcasts that are anywhere from an hour and a half to 4 freaking hours long.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, I can't imagine, like, everything that we have to create with right now, having that in 1994.
Gosh.
Oh, God.
I know. Man, if I had gotten into this stuff in high school. The thing is, like, it was so hard to do that back then. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. But, like,
but just being that age.
Yeah. Get your stuff on Instagram. And for all you who aren't doing this, get your stuff on Instagram. Get your stuff on Twitter. Start putting your stuff out there. Throw it up on Facebook. Hashtag everything on Instagram. Everything
all your
on Twitter.
Stuff.
You know? What?
All your onstage stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you're wanting to get big clients, if you're wanting to start, you know, conversations with bigger names and stuff like that, it's all about putting your work out there. It's all about getting your name well known. And I will tell you, with, you know, social networks and stuff like this, it is so easy now. It is so easy now to start conversations with, you know, people you look up to or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Just like a dead mouse.
Yeah, just like a dead mouse. And I woke up my kid. Fantastic. It's going to be a late night tonight.
How did you wake up your kid? You're not even being loud.
I don't have a door.
Oh, man, you need a door.
He also fell asleep at 6 p.m.
Oh, see, there's your problem. Yeah. So this is another show topic. This is from Jason, I think, who says, I come from a graphic design background and was around people who would break off from the advertising industry and form a new studio with a studio name. Mm-hmm. So I created the name Metal Box Studios, but it seems most people are promoting themselves as an individual. Mm-hmm. Do you think I should promote myself with my hard-to-pronounce last name or which is Soket or Soket?
Exactly.
I never did get a feedback on which one was right. To promote the Metal Box name, I was talking with Dave Brodeur with his question on Twitter on whether he pimps himself out as Locked and Loading, and he didn't know at that point either.
I would say either one. It doesn't matter. Like, if you want to pimp yourself out as Metal Box Studios, I would totally support that, you know?
It, like Raid Zero, for example. Yeah.
Does anyone know?
I mean, Raid Zero is a good name.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that he's known for being Raid Zero.
Yeah. At least we push him as Raid Zero.
Right.
Know?
I think it does depend on the person.
Beeple. What's Beeple's real name?
Beeple.
Mike Winkleman.
But also these are nicknames rather than like something something studios.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, our nickname is BroGraph. It's not BroGraph Studio Production Incorporated. You know what I mean? Like, limited, Niner, Inc.
Right.
.org.
Oh, God.
.net. .gov. So, you know, I think the nickname game is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Trying to push Cool Fire on Mitch Myers.
Yeah,
you know?
Trying to push. Yeah, but still, Mitch Myers just going by his own name. David Ariev. Everybody knows. Ariev goes as Ariev Visuals, you know, or David Ariev, yeah. You know.
David Ariev. Everybody kind of has their thing. Like with Mitch, it's the mustache. You know, David has the long hair and the Octane Jesus going. You know, like your what's your thing? You know, Nick Campbell is the gorilla.
I'll disagree with that. I'll disagree.
I don't
with
know.
That.
We're Brograph. You know,
which
I mean,
is
it's
such
just
a stupid name.
You know, we've got like I don't know. I think a lot of people have like their thing. Mm-hmm. David Brodeur.
I don't know.
That's like, a good. Like, that's a good question with David Brodeur. I mean, I know him as both.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I say whichever one you're going to focus on, push it and push it hard. You know?
I think it push it real good. I mean, push it real well.
What?
That's the grammatically correct way to sing that song. I think it also has to do, again, like, you know, how hard is it to remember?
Yeah.
A name or pronounce a name, or is it a generic name? Mm-hmm. If your name is John Smith, you probably don't want to be John Smith Motion Graphics.
Maybe.
You know, you probably want to come up with something a little more, I don't know, catchy.
Maybe.
So
it doesn't matter if you're just going by the name, you know? Like, there's
like
no, there's 531. No rule of thumb there.
But see, like, Liam is 531. I think that's a lot easier to remember. 531. I think it just depends on what you're doing, you know, and what you want to put out there to be memorable. So I don't know. I think I don't know if going with something studios is the best way to go.
Yeah, but you don't want to go as Metal Box. That would be weird. Hey, what up on Metal Box?
Well, Metal Box Studios. I think. Yeah. I mean, it's not that it's bad.
Here's the thing.
It's just,
when
I don't
you
know
say
if it's...
studios, it sounds like there are multiple people, you know?
And, which can be a good or a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think studios also makes it sound expensive.
That's, I think that's good.
Even though, well, here's the difference. I think, like, okay,
the
let's
expectations
say,
from people are, is that they're going to be working with a studio, not that they're working with an individual. You know?
Right, but a lot of people don't want that. A lot of people want to work with Mitch Myers.
Right.
You know? Or Beeple. And if they do, it's not like they don't know that they're gonna have to pay. Mm-hmm. It's just like when I hear the word studios, I think too much overhead.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like you're paying extra, you're paying a lot, but it doesn't mean that you're gonna get the same thing that you would get. Like, if let's say Mitch Myers is working for Metal Box Studios, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be paying a lot for that.
Yeah.
Right? Because you want Mitch Myers, but you got to go through the studios. I don't know. To me, it just feels like I would rather work directly with Mitch Myers.
Right.
You know, because I know I'm getting what I pay for. I'm not paying for the $500 cherry sitting in.
Right.
So I think the word studios is something you have to tread lightly with. If it can
you're
be something.
Being an individual.
Right, I think
if
like
you're starting
for us,
a studio, heck yeah, put it in there, you know?
Well, like, we technically call ourselves a studio, but we don't put the word studio in our name. And I think it's good because you could use it both ways. Mm-hmm. You could say, you know, this is a, you can market yourself as an ad agency, mm-hmm. as a studio, as a boutique, as an individual. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Find a way to where you could use that name in multiple ways.
Right.
I think that would be a good way to look at it.
I agree.
But something that's memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Word.
I don't know. Hopefully that helps a little bit. All right. Let's move on to some other topics here.
Did I put that Vimeo link in the dingus?
For what?
Introduction. Houdini? Houdini.
Yeah. So.
Man, this is going to be a short show.
Dude, you know what's crazy is I feel like. I feel like I had a ton of stuff in the notes, and we've only gone an hour. I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Knocking it out, just getting this taken care of, dude.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be a short show. Whatever. I think
they
we can still
all
got
be polished turds.
I know. So some other links that I have here, I don't think we ever actually linked to this, but the Already Been Chewed Marshawn Lynch spot that we did, we never really linked to it, I don't think.
That was a lot of fun to work on.
The whole behind the scenes thing, I think, might be in there too. So check that out. You can see how that was put together. Mm-hmm. We both worked on different things on that. You did compositing, and I did a lot some X particles.
Comping and color correction stuff. I also built a few of the elements, did a couple of the shots like right at the beginning, the 3D comping shots, and then also did the little light fixture at the end just falling over.
It falls, yeah. That's cool. There's a good link that was going around in Slack this week. It's called GarethWasHere.tumblr.com.
Okay.
And he's got a lot of cool, like, you know, like the piston thing that you did?
Yeah.
You know, just a lot of, like, technical gear-driven animation, stuff like that. It's a cool little Tumblr with that kind of stuff on it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then in the Rick and Morty front, this is a cool link, which is Rick and Morty characters' timeline for every person in every episode and what timeline they were in and where. And it's this crazy chart that somebody made, and I can't believe someone took the time to do this. So
Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Yeah, there's so many theories behind Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Mr. Beauregard.
Mr. Beauregard. The butler? Right?
Yeah.
He's the butler. See, I don't know if I talked about this on the show or not, but there's a whole theory of Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Oh, yeah?
That, you know, everybody's like, well, he appeared in a memory in that episode as well, but then at the end, when she shoots him, he bleeds blood. He doesn't have he's not a parasite. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously a real character, but where did he come from? Because he was in the family, I think listed as one of the six in the family. Mm-hmm. I think. But
that's weird. This
is that right?
This is weird. Like, it's got Jerry Smith, C-137, Beth Smith, C-137. Yeah. And then, like, so they're calling themselves, you know, Rick and Morty, C-137. That's so weird. I never,
So here's the going theory on that, mm-hmm. is that I believe the episode before, or two episodes before the Mr. Poopy Butthole episode, that was the one with the Jerry daycare, Jerry Jamboree.
Yeah.
You know, okay, that was always allowed.
Yeah.
You know, and so in that episode, at the beginning, he's like, hang on to your ticket with your number,
yeah.
or else you won't be able to get your Jerry back.
Do you have that link to that one? Because that one kind of messed me up. And I think we've posted that one before.
I think I put it in the show notes before. But the whole premise of that is supposed to be that, okay, at the end of that, you see Rick and Morty, and he's like, well, I don't have my ticket. Mm-hmm. I don't have my ticket for that. It's almost like he wasn't reminded to hold on to his ticket. And there's also a theory that you're actually following a different Rick and Morty after that episode.
Yeah.
In a universe in which Mr. Poopy Butthole had always lived with them.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then there's the fact that he's never around anymore.
Yeah.
But that's because he was shot.
Right.
You know, so then there's this whole, it's so crazy. It's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous that, we're even talking about this.
But it gets so deep. Like, some of this like, fan theory stuff is really, really crazy. But
I'm looking at this Gareth Was Here thing. Gosh, the guns are ridiculous. And then he's just got a random Sketch and Toon one in here. That's funny.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, here's a good link. Visual effects, how matte paintings are composited into film.
I want to say,
these are the original matte paintings. You know, like when they actually did them by hand, and they would do the exposures and stuff. And man, just, it's so crazy. It's this entire process for something you could do in like seconds in After Effects.
We had to,
it's insane.
We actually, did something like this. So I competed in like a 16 millimeter, competition. It was like a 24 or 48 hour 16 millimeter film shoot, you know?
Yeah.
Or film competition. And I competed, and we actually, what we did was we took a picture of something and then went in and Photoshopped it to be exactly what we wanted, and then printed it off on black and white paper and cut it out exactly like we wanted it, and then put it on a C-stand to where we could be in the scene and stuff. It was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So man, new so school matte painting and stuff.
But you see in this thing, they show how they did stuff from Star Wars, you know, just crazy, you know, how they made like an entire like space dock, which, by the way, we haven't talked about it, but have on the show, but the Orville, you've got to watch the Orville.
I've watched one
episode. It
is
so good.
Oh, I saw Thor this weekend and it was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. It's such a good superhero movie.
You know. But you only saw the first episode of the Orville.
No,
right?
I didn't even see the first episode. I saw like the fourth episode where
it's so good.
They wanted to change the baby's gender.
Yeah. Dude, the whole like nostalgia for the next generation that he's got going in it. Like the storylines are actually good.
Yeah.
It's not just like off the wall goofy and stupid like Family Guy. Like there's funny stuff. But there's also like a really genuinely good storyline that is like something they would have done in Next Generation.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because it's like watching more episodes of Next Generation, essentially.
Yeah.
But just with a little humor, like the fact that they're watching Seinfeld, you know, cause you watch Next Generation, you're like, what do these guys do in between episodes when they're, you know, at Warp 9 for like 30 days in between missions?
Yeah.
You know, and they show that, which is they sit there watching archived Seinfeld episodes on the main viewer screen.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. It's good. It's good writing. And you could tell that a lot of that stems from his fandom of Star Trek.
I've been watching The Good Place. With,
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my gosh, it's so ridiculously funny. It's, oh man, what's her name? The girl from, hold on. Now I gotta look it up.
That, you know, the girl from The Thing.
The girl from The
Thing.
Know,
with the face and the shirt.
What is her name?
Hey.
Kristen Bell. It has Kristen Bell and Ted Danson in it, you know? And so she dies and goes to the good place, you know? And I'm not gonna ruin it, but like all this, and she's not supposed to be there. Like, she realizes, oh crap, they got the wrong person, and so I'm actually supposed to be in the bad place.
In hell?
In hell, yeah. So,
interesting.
Anyway, it's a ridiculous concept. But
is this a Netflix joint?
Nah, it's CBS, but they've got the first season on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, just finished up Stranger Things season 2.
Oh, man.
Yeah, boy.
Dude.
It was good.
Just blasted through that, man.
It was very good.
God, that was so good.
Yeah, we binged like 4 hours straight, me and the wife, the other night.
Yeah. Dude, I watched that in one weekend.
I believe it.
Man, that was so good.
Yep.
Some other things we got here. Listary.com. Somebody recommended this as an alternative to Windows Explorer, because we've been talking about, you know, different file management alternatives. And then you posted something to battleaxe.co/overlord.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't remember.
It was a...
I just had your link.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a vector animation workflow.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So basically, I don't know, it was very cool. So like you create stuff in Illustrator and immediately are able to like bring it into After Effects to animate.
Right.
Or no, you basically just it. So you it's like a button that you press and then it immediately transfers everything.
Right.
As like shape layers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so that covers that. So you know what it's time for.
It's time for us to read an email and get out of here.
Peoples, where do you think people? Peoples,
So, first thing I wanted to say is that we got feedback from Mike.
Beeple, as you guys know him as.
On a couple things, which I thought was really funny, because I think some of the times that we thought it was Redshift, it was actually indeed Octane.
Yeah. He said, what was it? Like, we got only 30% right, 1 out of 3?
Yeah. But what I think is really funny is exactly what I said last week about the small stairs. Remember?
Yeah.
Because I was like, he's probably like, dang it. He's probably listening like, ah, dang it, I just didn't want to redo the stairs. But no, that's the thing, is that we did the small stairs, and here's the problem that happens now in our timeline of Beeple, the Beeple's People story, is that
we now have to incorporate small people.
Well, yeah, but now we have no sense of scale, because the problem with all of these is, you know, you put the person in to have a sense of scale. Uh-huh. Now you have no idea.
Right, because you got small people, so you got small stairs, so you got small scale. So we don't know whether it's small scale or big scale.
Right.
You really messed us up there, people.
Right. Like with the radio now.
Yes.
That's out there, you know. So, and he did this Coke Adobe work this week or something, right?
Yeah.
What was the hubbub about that? I don't understand. Are people upset about something?
I mean, it was actually his daily and stuff like that. And I think people were not happy.
It's a sponsored daily?
I don't know. I think people were upset about that, but honestly, I don't give a crap, you know?
Oh, is that what it was? It was like a sponsored daily?
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. Another design for at Adobe and at Coca-Cola. Great practice working to a brief for those two starting out. I don't know. What I think is interesting, though, is that I think it's pretty. I think it's a very pretty design. But when you look at the top one, I think it actually looked like Pepsi. It looks like Pepsi's logo.
Well, their logos are kind of similar.
They are. You know,
I don't know why people get their panties in a bunch over this stuff. It's like, you know what? More power to you.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you can do, create dailies for Coke. It's like, sweet, yeah, totally. Dude. You know?
Yep.
I don't know. Let's get into it, though. Let's go to, if you're following at home, this is going to be October 29th, Year of Our Lord 2017. This is going to be, this is the one you commented on Twitter, actually, called Harvest.
I said, way to go, now you're just throwing all sorts of wrenches into people. And then he called us, like, goons or something like that.
Yeah.
So. This is the one of them all praying to the tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess go ahead. I'll let you say.
I got to say, this is very much so a single tree from Forrester.
Uh-huh.
Very much looks like a Forrester tree, the way the branches are set up. But they've been praying to so many things, and we have this whole story going on with the trees providing oxygen for this new world that's being created, you know, most likely on Mars, I think is what we talked about. And
you know what? Let me just say something real quick, because I was just thinking about this. So with the small scale, Mike, if you're listening, now you really need to throw a wrench in everything and have like a person sitting on a set of like really gigantic stairs.
Yes.
Sorry. Anyway,
or vice versa,
or a very big person sitting next to a very small set of stairs.
No, the opposite, right?
Either or, yeah.
A small person that's on a giant set of stairs.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So this one. So I'm gonna guess Octane this time.
I'm gonna. There's a lot of noise too.
What? Even with the volumetrics, to me, it just looks like it. And, you know, it's your kind of typical, people praying to something, but they're praying to the tree. And I feel like the tree really has something to do with their new world and the oxygen in it.
Yeah, so probably.
It's really following our storyline.
What's interesting is now, so this must be from the new world, not the old world, because in the new world, they're praying to the tree. In the old world, they're praying to this golden cube or whatever.
Right.
Remember?
Or orb or something. Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of evolved over time.
Right.
And these could be the small Beeple's people. praying to the tree. We don't know.
Right.
You know.
What's up with that guy?
What's up with that guy? So here's the other thing is that if we were going to go on to November 1st, Apocalypse Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really interesting because this mm-hmm. is the same boombox
mm-hmm.
from before. You remember? Mm-hmm. And there was a person in front of it before, but they were the size of the boombox. Therefore, mm-hmm. you know, they were one of the little people's people.
Right.
That's what they prefer to be called. That's the, yeah.
No, I think we need an actual nickname for them.
Oh, what do you call little Beeple's people?
I don't know.
Leeple's people?
Beeple's
sheeple.
No.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Nah, those are all the people praying. Those are the Beeple's sheeple.
Those are the Beeple's sheeple.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So all the people in the last one are Beeple sheeple.
The big people are Beeple's people. The praying people are Beeple's sheeple.
And they're in the Beeple's teeple.
No.
Steeple. In the Beeple's steeple.
In the Beeple's steeple.
In the Beeple's steeple. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, gosh. Hold on. Now I'm going to look up a rhyming dictionary. Go ahead.
And they're all stacked in a big heaple. I don't know.
All right.
All right, so this is the same radio, which is interesting. And it says Apocalypse Fresh. So, like, this is kind of, like, making a little more sense to me now because, like, the one before, the thing was lit up and it was kind of, like, you know, had power going to it and you had a person in front of it. And now this apocalypse has happened, like, the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the pink goo
mm-hmm.
on the ground. Now, wait for it. I'm really going to tie this in here.
Oh, boy.
Do you remember they were farming the people
uh-huh.
in the goo?
Uh-huh.
Right? So I think that these people, because they're farmed in that goo, in that pink ooze, I feel like that pile of bricks fell on that person that was there and smashed him, and now his pink goo is all over the place.
Okay.
Like, this is like the next day. The apocalypse happened. The guy's been smashed. The sky is falling. Apocalypse Fresh.
Yeah, maybe.
Get it? I really like the look of the boombox, though.
Yeah.
Really like that. And the brick. I'm thinking this is Octane.
Yeah, I'll go with you on there.
But I love the pink. I wonder how he did that.
Yeah, I think the pink is great.
I wonder if that's
just like a sticker or something.
I mean, you've got reflection and stuff, so mm-hmm. it's definitely in there. It's definitely probably not Photoshop, but yeah. Really cool. I like it. Let's move on to the last one here. This is going to be November 3rd. This is called Unicorn Zero. And the name of this
mm-hmm.
intrigued me. because I can't figure out what the name Unicorn would represent
yeah, I don't know.
In this.
Dude, I got to say, I really like this one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this one a lot. Like, I mean, you know, it's got a lot of the same Beeple stuff. It's got the portal. It's got the space band.
Yep.
It's got the, you know, the landscape stuff. But this one is actually very pretty. I mean, I'm not saying all of the stuff's not pretty, but this one is like, I don't know. It touches
me. I like the pink. I like the small pool.
Yeah.
I
like that the water is going inside of the pool. Did you notice that?
The what?
Or the water is going inside of the portal.
Is it?
Yeah.
It looks like a straight line to me.
It looks like it's kind of going in a little bit.
You're not looking at the Tumblr.
I am looking at the Tumblr.
Or you are looking at you're not looking at the Twitter. Oh, no. I like the flare and the glow he's got going on. I'm trying to figure out the significance of the pink.
Oh,
if it has to do with, like, the pink from the last one. You know? The pink goo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if there's a tie-in. But these two colors are definitely really cool, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. Storyline wise, I don't know what to say about this one.
Oh, no. This is tough. This is one of the portals. This is one of the portals that he's going through.
There's always
through.
A portal.
Oh, no. I mean, sometimes they're. Yeah. I mean, there's a portal. You know, this is taking him to another world. Maybe this is when they were first trying to find. Oh, okay. So they're explorers, and all these different portals are going to all these different worlds. They're like what is it called? The what? I don't know what they're called. Anyway,
Necronomicon? I don't know.
No. So you've got all these portals, and all these explorers are going to the different worlds, finding which one is going to be the best one in order to whatchamacallit, turn into their new world.
Right, but they're all different kinds of portals. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what is the significance of a round one, a rectangle one, the different colors?
Different dimensions have different physical attributes and stuff like that. So you've got to adjust your portal based on the world in which you're going to.
Hmm.
I think that's a really cool idea. And turn that into a story. I'll call it Beeple Sheeple.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one. That pretty much wraps it up. I turned that one into a shirt.
It's funny because every week from the time when I put these in to the time when I load it back up, mm-hmm. he's done it. Like every week on Sunday, he does. He posts his at like 10 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Central Time. Like every week. There's always a new one right then, and I'm like, oh, we should talk about that. Oh, we got to wait till next week. So.
Yep. Interesting. Oh, so, okay, so people were saying that they wrote a review, but it didn't show up in iTunes.
I was reading Mark, and I did see a new one, actually.
Yeah, we do have a new one.
But it wasn't from Mark.
No, it wasn't.
It was from somebody else.
Yeah.
Trying to load it up, unless you can get to it before I can.
I can probably get to it before you. Thanks to everyone. Oh, first, I want to say, I want to give a big shout out to everyone. Like all the listeners, you guys kind of like really made my month last month. Like we killed it in numbers. Like,
oh yeah.
Subscriber numbers. Like we reached a whole new rank in numbers and stuff. And it felt really, really good. So all you mm-hmm. people who are listening, all the people who are sending emails, all the people on the Slack who are like just chatting and having a good time. And like, dude, you guys make us feel like just so special that anyone would even care about our opinions. So thank you guys so much for actually like participating and being a part of this stupid BroGraph name.
We've got two reviews here. We've got
I've only got one.
We've got October 25th and 29th.
See, I've only got October 29th on mine.
Yeah, we had the one from the 25th, and it's the only one, and I'm in actual iTunes.
Okay.
It says, listening to this podcast has the vibe of going to a meetup and hanging out with some good friends and talking chop about the motion design industry.
Cool.
Matt and Dave are funny, unbiased.
quote-unquote funny.
See the pun there?
I do.
And they tell it like it is. Life is too short to spend your commute listening to NPR talk about a bunch of crap you don't care about. Stay up to date and focused on your craft.
And then, I don't know about unbiased. We're biased on some things.
I know.
I am, at least.
Like, we reflect everything. Oh, you God. Can't exclude reflections.
Everything has Fresnel.
Right. And the title of that was Love This Podcast. Then there's another one, review here called Pretty Good, I Guess.
It's pretty good, I guess.
And if you do motion graphics or are at all interested in 3D, then this show is a must listen. This show goes more in depth than any other podcast on these topics. The older shows are also still very relevant.
That's good to
and
hear.
Useful. Yeah. And so there's a lot of great stuff to fill your podcast feed up with.
Yep.
So there you go. We've got 44 5-star reviews. Thank you so much, everybody.
You guys are amazing.
Love that.
Yep.
Let's go to some email social before we get out of here. Remember, you can email us, brograph@brograph.com, with your show topic ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to send those in. I know. I guarantee you.
Hit us up on the Slack and go into the show topics channel. Just add something
in there. I guarantee you. There are people. I mean, we want to know what you think about the show. We want to know questions. We want to. Like, there's so much that you could email us. And I know that. There are people, you know, like I saw somebody posted in the Slack the other day. They're like, oh, I've been listening forever and I've never sent anything or posted anything. I know that there are people out there like that. You're sitting there, you got an idea, you're probably in the car on the way to work. You're like, oh yeah, I'll do that when I get there, and then you forget. It's so easy.
Brograph at brograph.com. Yeah. Hey Siri, remind me when I get to work to email Brograph,
Alexa,
and tell
or
them
okay, Google,
that they're dumb.
Yeah, that they're dumb.
Please don't tell us that we're dumb.
Urban Polar Bear had a topic idea, but we kind of addressed some of this the other day, so I don't know. We won't really fully get into this, but like knowing when to use a certain bit depth for rendering and when to use certain frame rates for tracking and stabilizing with avoiding overkill, you know, i.e. 4K at 32-bit OpenEXR for a web video.
Yeah.
We talked with RAID Zero quite a bit about that. As far as bit depth, but it's true. Yeah, if you're doing a web video, you know, why would you be rendering OpenEXR, multi-layer, 32-bit, just crazy, crazy, if you're going to do something that's, like, not that important.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a reason that you could be using 32-bit OpenEXR, you know, with multi-layers, stuff like that. If it's a project that is not just going to be for the web, but you're going to have like a nice quality product at the end. Yeah, like totally. But 4K, a lot of times for tracking, people will track proxies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, frame rates, you want to stick with the frame rate or you're going to run into trouble.
Yes.
You don't want to like down convert your frame rate or anything. You're going to have issues, but like
you're going to have a bad time.
You're going to have a bad time. There are some reasons you would use a proxy and wouldn't use a proxy. Sometimes what I like to do if I'm doing something in 4K, but I'm or even if I'm doing something in HD but I'm rendering a low quality version, like a half res, I will put that half res at 200% within After Effects pre-comp, which is that pre-comp is 1920 by 1080. So at least when I'm working with it, everything's the right size, you know, because the worst thing can happen is you put something in just as like a raw half res, and then you realize, oh, I masked all this stuff and I did all this stuff at the wrong size, and it just becomes a big pain. Motion tracking, again, frame rates, you want to stick with that, but that's really the only thing I have to say about that, because most of it is about bit depth, but we already talked about that.
Yeah.
So Matt Lloyd said, holy moly, I'm your newest disciple.
Yeah.
Just been studying the heck out of interior lighting tutorial. Perfect for the job I'm doing. You rock.
Thanks, man.
And this is ash.com. I don't know who, I don't believe that's Ash Thorpe. This is ash.com said, just heard about Motion Hatch on the Brograph podcast. Call me intrigued. Can't wait. So that's
that. That's coming out in a day. So you guys will listen to this on Monday.
Nice.
It comes out tomorrow.
Cool.
I believe. So
awesome.
Oh, Ashley Hyatt. This is ash.com. Thanks, Ashley.
Ashley Hyatt. Why do I know that name?
I don't know.
Huh. Interesting.
Watch her show reel right now.
Senior graphic designer, contact me. I'm just trying to figure out where... What city here, but...
Love myself some Skrillex.
What?
Love myself Skrillex? Some Skrillex. She used Skrillex on her demo reel.
Like
nice. You do.
Chopping and screwing.
All right, cool.
a little bangarang.
Yeah, it was bangarang.
Yeah.
Love myself some bangarang.
Man, the thing with the people dancing, everybody's doing people dancing with like particles and stuff. That's the fad.
All right, let's get out of here.
I've seen that Making a Murderer Lego kit before somewhere. Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, let's get out of here. You can rate us on iTunes. Leave a review. Helps get our ratings up. You can also subscribe to us if you are not a subscriber on a podcatcher of choice. Subscribe to our newsletter on the site as well. Check out all the cool things we have there, like Rando Render and your rate calculator and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. Powered by Barton Damer.
We need to have him back on.
Barton Damer inside.
We need to have him back on. We need Barton back on. David Brodeur back on.
I know, so many people.
Yeah. We should go through our list and start hitting people up.
Yeah. You can say you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt with a No Brograph, No Mograph tee, the Gainey Simone limited edition shirt.
Still limited edition.
Still limited edition, and the Paul Babb, Feel the Babb 2020 shirt. All the profits for that go to Doctors Without Borders. And
Coming soon?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. coming soon, the Render Things t-shirt. Assuming that the color comes out correctly this time around, mm-hmm. when we get the new mock-up.
The old one was kind of pink.
And like white. It's so weird. It was such a deep red the new in the PNG.
The new shirts are like this newer material, and they're super soft. Now, I will say they may cost a couple dollars more.
Like profit much off of these anyway.
Yeah, so we don't. But still, price. Like it'll probably be a couple bucks more. But like maybe only like $2 more because they charge us more for the nicer t-shirts. And I would much rather have the nicer t-shirts.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. We'll talk to y'all next week. Remember, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course, YouTube, brograph.com. Look out for all the live stream stuff that we're going to be doing this week and join us in there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's so much fun to just kind of mess around with Octane or Redshift and just like people just say, hey, what about this thing? And you just kind of do it. And everybody's joking around, having a good time. Come join us Thursday for sure. And we may actually end up doing one on Wednesday as well. So
cool.
Until next week, I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt.
Have a good one.
Later, bros.
Pretty good, I guess. Brograph.com, an online resource for learning Cinema 4D, After Effects, and other motion graphics tools specifically catered to help you prevail as a motion graphic designer.
What's up, bros? Welcome to another Brograph motion graphics tutorial.
With tutorials, plugins, and now a podcast with tens of thousands of listeners worldwide.
Yeah, it's a great community to be part of.
We give you professional time-saving tips, industry news, interviews, shortcuts, and lessons that help keep you current in the world of motion design.
Throw in HDR Studio, take the render settings, pick the HDR, point of reflection, and gorgeous.
I love projects that scare me. When our art director comes to us and asks for something that I had never done before, man, it gets me pumped.
Our weekly long-form podcast will give you the latest news, help you in your file management, hardware configuration, and client relations. Learn about the latest render engines, modeling techniques, and workflow integration while staying entertained.
Real nice banana.
That's so funny. All right. I'm going to live forever.
Our Brograph talks are a chance to see the way industry leaders from around the globe are changing the face of motion design.
Sometimes you got to make stuff that you're not going to put on your reel. And I'm not here to judge.
The podcasts and talks include people like Beeple, Barton Damer, Nick Campbell, Andrew Kramer, David Ariev, Chad Ashley, Paul Babb, EJ Hassenfrost, Mitch Myers, Chris Schmidt, Jules Urbach, Cornelius Dammer, David Brodeur, Andy Needham, Caitlin Kajou, Zubair Parker, Noseman, Ryan Bean, Casey Hupke, Nick Lyons, Sage, Joey Korenman, Jeremy Cox, Rick Barrett, John Dickinson, Matthias Omotola, Patrick Goski, Brandon Clements, Steve Teeple, Tom Glimpse, Patrick Longstrom, Julius Simone, Devin Coe, Al Heck, and even Deadmau5.
You get that render done. Yeah, you better frame what?
Our Brograph breakdowns go behind the projects and give you an insight on what it's like to manage and maintain your own personal business or work for a large company. Join us for live sessions, check out our useful plugins, watch time-lapse projects, interact with us, and send us email questions and topic ideas. Or just hit the Rando Render button and do an imaginative daily that'll keep you on your toes.
Take all your dreams and let's do it!
Subscribe today and get automatic updates on the latest tutorials, tricks, tips, and inspiration brought to you by industry professionals Dave Koss and Matt Milstead.
We don't care how you get here, folks. Just get here.
Subscribe now to Brograph Tutorials.
pretty good, I guess.